Good morning.
Good morning.
And what shall we discuss?
I would like to begin with asking you another definition.
Very well.
I mean, I'm sure you have talked about this at length at different times, but what would you say now? How would you define fear?
Fear is an anticipation of something harmful or threatening or dangerous.
And you say that it is from fear that stems control.
Yes. Now, in that, in relation to that anticipation, what falls into those identifications automatically is discomfort or pain.
That would be the subject of the fear.
It is a component. It is the anticipation of those expressions occurring. Not that they are occurring, but fear is that feeling, that signal in relation to an anticipated experience.
And we, as humans, have come to fear, in a manner of speaking, because of previous experiences.
Yes.
Would you say that fear is goes hand in hand with separation, like being in a state of compartmentalization toward oneself? Or is that,
yeah.
It is, okay. If a person is more so not compartmentalized, there would naturally be less fear arising.
Correct.
Because then you're more self-aware, you're more aware of your own power.
Correct. And also, the more self-aware you are, the more present you are, and the less you would be projecting in anticipation of the future.
Right. You don't even kind of go there, regardless whether it concerns a you know, fearful anticipation or not. You're just rooted in the present.
Correct. Now, that doesn't mean that you never think about the future, or you never entertain ideas about the future, but you aren't anticipating the future.
Okay. Upon completion of the shift, are humans going to be, or are the majority of humans going to be trusting rather than controlling? Like,
yeah.
Yes, okay. Because I know you said we're not creating utopia, but I was just wondering, well, are we at least, is there going to be at least a lot less control?
Yes.
And that also goes hand in hand with authority being redefined, because if people are less attempting to control, that changes the whole relationship with authority also.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay. Okay, you know, when we had that little conversation at the end of Jean's session last time, you made a statement that has kind of intrigued me since. You said that I was better at connecting with others than I am with myself. And this was said, you know, that conversation about how being connecting is a natural expression to me, which I guess is also the reason why in my focus symbol there is that lapis stone. The reason that it kind of intrigues me is that I would have thought the reverse. I would have thought I am more easily connecting with myself than I am with others. So,
not necessarily.
Uh-huh.
I would say that there's a difference between being preoccupied with yourself and being connecting with yourself.
How would you define that action of connecting with oneself?
I would express that that would be also a part of being self-aware, in that you would easily move in the direction of different aspects of yourself, being aware of them and paying attention to your different communications and understanding them.
So you making that statement, that also is connected with me paying attention to others more than to myself.
Not entirely.
Oh, okay.
Not entirely. Remember what I expressed, that connecting with yourself would be being more self-aware to the point in which you would be aware of all of your different types of communications to yourself and understand them. Now, when you are interacting with another individual or you are observing another individual, you are paying attention to what they are expressing, what they are experiencing, and in that, you are paying attention to how they are communicating with themselves, and to a significant degree, you understand what they are communicating to themselves. Even if they don't see it.
But isn't that typical of humans, that we'll, we'll more easily see that about others than about oneself?
Yes, yes. In many capacities, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the understanding piece is the difference.
Okay.
Yes, generally speaking, most of you do see expressions, behaviors in other individuals and can define them more easily than you do with yourselves. But that doesn't automatically mean that you understand them.
Okay. When Jean was asking you that question, we were talking about the porpoise as my essence symbol. But the way she worded that question was the focus symbol, but what she meant was the focus, the essence symbol, but what she meant was the essence animal. Were you answering in relation to the porpoise being my essence animal, or were you kind of answering more generally about symbols?
Both.
Okay. So the answer that you gave still applies in relation to the porpoise, which is
Being an animal, it matters not because it is a symbol.
a. Right. They, right. It is a symbol. You're right. Okay.
It isn't that any essence animal. You actually are an individual that incorporates a dog as an essence animal, or a bird, or a cat, doesn't mean that their essence is a dog, or a bird, or a cat.
No.
It is a symbol that expresses certain qualities that are expressed by that essence that are important in relation to that essence. But it isn't contradictory as a symbol to have that particular animal as a focus or a essence animal.
You mentioned dog. I've never. I mean, I haven't jumped on the dog craze. But I'm kind of curious. What would you say would be the dog breed that represents my focus? I don't know much about dog breeds, admittedly. You know what? But the dog that comes to my mind that could be representative. I don't know if you can kind of pinpoint that in consciousness, but when I was in India, in South India, I was in a small community and they had a dog that one of the families there had a black and white dog that would kind of hide when he needed to poop, and nobody ever saw him poop. And that dog kind of stuck in my mind, throughout the years, in as some significant display, and I was wondering if that type of dog would be representative. But I don't know what he was. I don't know what you call it.
I would say that that was interesting imagery that you presented to yourself, but I would express the dog breed that would more be similar to you would be a Saint Bernard.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to kind of look that up because I'm not really familiar with their behavior. Aren't
Very well.
they kind of rescue dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They are incorporated in that capacity and have been for a considerable time frame where they're strong, they're a large dog. They are perhaps what you would term to be a gentle giant, are very gentle dogs. They are generally, as they reach adulthood, quiet dogs. They are not tremendously active.
Mm-hmm.
They can be, but they generally are more subdued. They are very energetic as a young dog, as a puppy, but as they reach adulthood, they move into an expression of being more reserved and quiet and are more inclined to be with themselves. They are fiercely loyal.
Mm.
And the reason that they have been used for a considerable time framework as rescue dogs is because they are large, they are powerful, they are strong, but they also, in that gentleness that they express, they are very willing to be interactive with almost anyone in any situation.
Okay.
They're reliable.
Right. That's the word that was coming to my mind, reliable. Okay. Well, thank you.
You are very welcome.
Yesterday, I had another session with that healer that I was engaging last year, because right now I'm visiting my family in New Brunswick. Just I'm going to get the rest of my stuff that was here and bringing it all back to Montreal, where I'm moving next week. And it was so good. My goodness. I guess she is very, she has good abilities. I think the healing might also be successful because we relate to one another very well. I'm very at ease with her. I trust her. I was thinking about why is it that I trust her so much? And, you know, I think it's because, in a manner of speaking, she's very much in her heart. She's kind. And I trust people that are kind.
I agree.
And that creates an open avenue for that interaction, that healing.
I agree.
Now, were you going to say something?
I would say that in addition to kindness, I would say that you also connect strongly with individuals that you sense are considerably genuine.
Mm. Yes. One of the things I was also thinking about, you know, she was doing her gestures, her manipulations of energy, and we established before that, you know, if somebody is going to facilitate or be involved in an energy healing capacity with somebody else, you know, the gestures are a focal point. You don't actually need that, but they can be a very effective focal point.
Yes.
Now, you know, when she was moving around in real time, I was feeling the energy move. I was feeling physically stuff move, changes happening. Now, when I do energy healing on myself, I don't do much gestures at all. And I do have some effectiveness, but I don't reach quite that level of efficiency or accomplishment that I get when I engage her. I think one of the reasons for that is if I'm doing it on myself, it is much more easy for me to also concentrate on whatever is the discomfort or the concern, and that kind of diminishes some of the efficiency, because at the same time as I'm directing the energy, I'm also paying attention more so to the area that is problematic. Whereas if I engage her, I kind of like put it all in her hand, or I'm not as concentrating as much while the healing is going on whatever has been bothering me.
Correct. Which is an excellent reason to engage another individual and to enlist the aid of other individuals, because you will have less of a tendency to be focused in one direction.
Right. Okay. And that makes sense to me. I have a question about... She has been expressing for some time in a manner that is quite irritating to me, quite uninteresting to me. It's very hard for me to be present for that. I would describe that focus and that way of expressing herself, you know, there's a concentration, it seems like, on death and decrepitude, really. I don't have a particular impression that she's preparing or in a process of relatively soon disengagement.
Correct, but that doesn't mean that it can't be a fascination.
It just seems to me that she's kind of like starting early for that kind of talk. And it's very uninteresting. And it doesn't matter that I joke about it. I try to diffuse it. But, you know, she can do what she wants, right? Fine. But it's like, not interesting to me. So I guess what I was trying to check with you is whether there is some type of imminence to disengagement or not.
No. There isn't. Mm-hmm. It is merely a fascination, with the subject. But it isn't a matter of that she is moving in that direction of that choice. She isn't.
Okay.
But express the question, why is it bothersome to you?
Because I guess it's still that responsibility thing. I associate that kind of expression with her needing, you know, needing from us, from the outside, which even if it is, I don't have to comply with. But, you know, at this point in my life, I'm fed up with anything that has to do with her needing, you know?
Very well. But I would question that also. What I would say to you is that is actually you moving in a direction and addressing to the expression and the situation, because generally speaking, you and like manner to most individuals would move in a direction of becoming fed up or irritated or even frustrated with a particular expression or behavior or even subject before you move to the next step, which would be that acceptance in which you recognize in a genuine manner that this subject isn't necessarily important to you, but it doesn't create a bothersome situation if another individual is expressing in that manner.
I have my moments of acceptance, you know. But, okay, all right.
I am acknowledging of that, and I am acknowledging of you. What I am saying is that this is, in a manner of speaking, a step that precedes moving into that expression of genuine or complete acceptance. Are you understanding?
Yes, and it's like, oh my God, the things we have to accept. Okay.
But in that, I am not expressing to you that what you are experiencing at this point is bad or mm-hmm. wrong. It isn't. Mm-hmm. It is a significant step. It is definitely a step that indicates to you that you are moving in that direction, that you are actually moving and that you are doing actions inwardly,
mm-hmm.
and that is the reason that you are presenting these types of signals to yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be.
Speaking of presenting signals to oneself, another person that is I'm searching for the right word. Yeah, this person, Sylvain, that has had explosions recently in relation to myself. I don't even know where to begin with that. You know, I don't know what I want to ask of you, if anything. I don't know if you would have anything to say in relation to my relationship to this individual. I can tell you that I'm definitely less interested in connecting with him at this point.
And what would you express in describing your experience and your feeling?
I find his expression toward me not all the time. There's a lot of affection a lot of the time, but also there's quite a bit of discounting and pushing.
And that wasn't what I asked.
Oh, okay.
What
I guess I just wanted to say that also.
Oh, and what I asked was, what are you feeling? Not what is the other individual doing.
Okay.
But what are you feeling and what are you experiencing? And let me say to you that the description of what the other individual is doing is not necessarily the same
mm-hmm.
as what you are feeling. Therefore, the other individual could be discounting, and you might not be feeling discounting. You might be feeling angry.
Okay.
Or you might be feeling distressed. Or the other individual might be expressing in a manner that is what you might think of as being self-absorbed, and you might be feeling invisible. Therefore, what the other individual is doing or expressing is not necessarily the same as what you are feeling.
Okay.
And that what I was asking you.
Well, I think I feel different things in relation to him. That's one thing. When you mention invisible, I feel not seen. I feel like he doesn't see me. I feel, you know, a big part of the feeling, I feel disinterested.
Huh?
I feel... Which is what?
A defense.
Oh, okay. Oh, touche. Okay, it's a defense. Damn.
How important is this individual?
At this point... Well, I mean, I don't know if that's an indicator, but I mean, I never have the impulse to spend time with him, honestly.
Therefore, how important is the individual to you?
Not that much.
Very well. Then, if the individual is not very important to you, or is not important to you, then what prompts you or influences you to be interactive?
Well, I usually, you know, over the years I've taken distance from him at different times, and he's usually the one wanting to reconnect, and then little by little I do.
Why?
It's that responsibility thing again, right?
I'm asking you, why? What influences you? What prompts you? What motivates you to move in that direction, to allow that interaction? If the individual isn't important, and if you don't like the other individual's expression and behavior, then what is influencing you, or what is motivating you to interact?
Well, admittedly, recently, you know, I, it's kind of crappy, but I needed a place to stay. But it's more than that. I mean, it's, you know, the reconnection happens at times where I don't necessarily need anything in that manner. But, okay.
And that is actually an excellent point, because it is not unusual that individuals might be interactive with another individual that they don't necessarily like, or that they are not necessarily comfortable with. But if it serves them to be interactive with them, they might be likely to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a separate subject in a manner of speaking.
Right.
That is a different subject.
I agree.
What I am expressing is, can you define what prompts you to continue to interact with this individual if you don't need something from them, if you don't perceive that it benefits you in a particular capacity to be expressing that interaction? Is it obligation? Is it a fear of how you will be perceived? Is it that you...
There would be...
Continue.
I think there is that factor of obligation.
And what prompts the obligation? Is it an obligation for some specific reason, or is it that you generate that obligation in relation to anyone and everyone if they approach you first? What I am asking is it a specific obligation to this individual, or is it a general obligation to anyone?
Well, I think there's a general factor, but then it gets compounded when there is an established relationship.
And what is the established relationship?
Well, we've known ourselves for more than 10 years in this focus, and not counting the others, and we have gone through a lot, and we have shared a lot, so that would constitute...
But that does not necessarily obligate you to another individual if you grow apart.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm at that point where it's just not going to survive, you know. I'm at that point.
Very well. This is all interconnected, my friend. That is the reason that I'm prompting you in these questions, because it is interconnected with how you interact with, or how you perceive, how you interact and perceive other individuals that are becoming, let us say, somewhat of annoyances to you.
Mm-hmm.
It is all connected. It is all intertwined. It isn't this individual and that individual. It is more a matter of you are beginning to move in a direction with yourself of honoring yourself more.
Yes.
And becoming more genuine. And therefore, you are becoming less and less willing to move in directions in which you perceive that you are not important.
Mm.
Or that the other individual isn't honoring you or isn't genuinely paying attention to you. Now, that is what I was alluding to when I was expressing to you that this irritation expression is a prelude to that acceptance. That it isn't a matter of you move in a direction in which you divorce yourself from all individuals that don't necessarily honor you or don't hold you as important. You definitely generate a change in which you are aware that you choose who you want to be interactive with in your life, who you want to surround yourself with, and what individuals you want to include in your life, in your interactions. But then there are also individuals that are, in a manner of speaking, the periphery. They are in your life in a less interactive capacity.
Mm-hmm.
They are in your life for many different reasons, but not necessarily because you choose them to incorporate any type of intimacy with them.
Mm-hmm.
In that, they may be family members, they may be acquaintances, they may be old friendships, but in that, you recognize that you have, in a manner of speaking, outgrown these individuals, but you also recognize in being more self-aware that you are interconnected with everyone.
I see that.
Therefore, you don't necessarily want to dismiss them entirely
right.
from your life or your experience. Because that is an extreme, it isn't balanced, then it isn't acknowledging that interconnected piece.
Right, yes.
That you can acknowledge and accept that interconnectedness with all of these individuals, and also simultaneously not necessarily like them. Because you don't necessarily like or agree with what they are expressing in this particular focus. But that doesn't mean you are any less connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, what you are experiencing now
mm-hmm.
in that irritation or annoyance or aggravation, and it feels as if you are pulling away from some individuals, you are in a capacity to allow yourself to restructure your interactions with them. To not be entirely dismissive or divorced from them.
I follow you. I hear you. I agree. It makes sense to me.
Therefore, it is an action, a step that allows you to move in the direction. What it is doing, it is emphasizing to you what the areas are in your life, in your expression, that you value and that are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the reason that you continue to say or express in relation to different individuals that they don't interest you.
Okay.
Because what they are expressing or their behaviors aren't important to you, and that is what you are defining in this process.
Okay, thank you. I think this is all I can take right now on the we'll have to quickly move to a pleasant topic.
Very well.
No, I mean I'm half joking. I actually have another question about irritation. You know, as I prepare myself to establish myself again in the city, one of my concerns through the years is always noise. You know, like I just feel so sensitive to the noise of people around. And, you know, I made a connection recently because, you know, in the past, I would interpret people making noise around me as being inconsiderate, like they were not being considerate toward me. I was very much personalizing that. But then I realized, you know, that comes from my own childhood experience where if we were making noise, you know, that's what our mother was expressing toward me and my sister, is that we were lacking consideration, you know, toward her for making noise. And I've transferred that into my own experience later on. So now I'm much more aware of that, and I think I'm less easily irritated by noise of others than I used to be. But, you know, it kind of remains a point of sensitivity. I don't know if you would have anything to say about that.
What I would say is, actually, this is one of those types of experiences or subjects that actually work very well with the like cures like method. That in relation to sound sensitivities, it can be very effective to use sound to block out sound.
You know, what I was thinking of getting is some state-of-the-art noise-canceling headphones that can also play, you know, whatever sound you want at the same time.
Excellent, excellent. I would express that it isn't a matter of attempting to produce silence or tremendous quiet. Because in actuality, when you attempt to move in those directions, you actually emphasize sound and you are in actuality encouraging yourself to be even more sensitive. Therefore, you don't necessarily want to move in that direction. It is a matter of using sound to cancel out other sounds. Using sound to cancel how you pay attention to sound that annoys you.
Okay.
Or sound that agitates you. It may not even annoy you. It may merely create an agitation in your body in which you are restless and it affects your nervous system.
Definitely.
In this, it is more a matter of generating somewhat of some type of neutral sound that is tolerable to you.
Okay.
That encourages you to pay attention to that and move your attention away from the sounds that are bothersome to you.
Okay, that works for me. I mean, it's more or less what I've... I mean, the distinction between trying to create silence with, you know, instead of doing that the data alternative you mentioned. That's kind of a helpful clarification. Because yeah, then it gets much more easier to be irritated if you're trying to produce silence.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a few questions for others. My nephew Alexandre, could we define his focus intent?
And your impression or your observation?
You know, honestly, I haven't given it much thought because this was a last-minute question. But what I would say when I observe him, I think I know also he's Sumafi. I think he has a strong interest in understanding things, but that's very general.
But that is what an intent is. Mm. It is very general. Okay. It is a very general theme.
He's very curious, you know. He's very bright. I can definitely...
I would say that it is... You are partially correct. It is an exploration of understanding distinctions between different expressions, different manifestations, different presentments.
So he has a fascination with distinctions.
Yeah.
Okay. My sister would like to know. She has a vision in terms of where she wants to go professionally. And right now, she perceives that she needs to do her master's degree to accomplish what she wants. And the question would be, would you be encouraging of her going in the direction of completing that master's degree, even though she doesn't feel like it at all? I mean, it's a convoluted question. I mean, it would be a session, probably. but, you know, just to kind of give her a little something, would you be encouraging of that direction that she perceives in relation to that degree and where it can take her business or professional activity? Or would you be more encouraging of her to explore other directions?
First of all, as with most subjects, I would express to her that it is a matter of defining what is important to her.
Yeah.
And what is more important to her.
Okay.
Now, generally speaking, when an individual incorporates a significantly strong opposition to a particular direction, they are communicating to themselves that that isn't tremendously important to them, which is something to be aware of. In this, it is more that she is being told,
right,
that that's important,
right,
and that doesn't necessarily mean that she agrees with that or that she holds it as important. Now, what I would say is, if the subject of furthering her education is important to her and she wants to do that, which obviously she doesn't, then I would express an encouragement to do so. But if that isn't a direction that is important. And if she is already presenting opposition to herself, if it is already considerably difficult for her to move in that direction, what I would suggest is that she explore other creative avenues. It is not a matter that she cannot move forward in what she is doing or in a business capacity. She can. It is merely a matter of exploring her own creativity and inspirations.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't require school.
Right. I think her perception of it, the reason why she would do it is not so much the schooling, it's much more so that it would allow her legally to emit receipts, deductible receipts. And she feels that, you know, that would be necessary to be, to appear as competitive or interesting, which may or may not be the case. You know, she could still create
Correct.
Without it.
Which is what I am expressing.
Right.
It is not necessarily the situation
mm-hmm.
that she can express that equally as well in other capacities.
Okay. I have a question for Terrell. I'm just going to read it. You gave Samta information about lapis recently. I have a lapis bowl that is about about 9 inches across. Does the shape of the bowl add to the power of the lapis when I use it, amplifying the effect? And that would be several lapis pieces, not just one.
That would depend on what you are doing.
Okay.
Generally speaking, no. But it would also depend on what you are doing specifically.
Okay. And I don't exactly know what she uses it for, so... I guess she'll have to follow up on that.
Very well.
I had a lot of nice crystal questions today. but we won't be getting to them. But I thank you. I thank you for everything you've shared. You know, I have to say, you know, sometimes it's difficult for me to go into topics that I consider unpleasant with you because I view these sessions to be so pleasant. And it feels like I'm introducing, you know, I'm taking time away from the fun, you know. But that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate and
I would
and
actually disagree.
Oh, okay.
Because I would say to you that when you are moving in those directions of subjects that you perceive to be somewhat uncomfortable, you are doing so to clear an avenue that will allow you to express more fun.
Oh, I agree with that, definitely, yes. It's just a momentary effect, you know. There's so much, crunchy questions we could get to about crystals and such. Maybe just I'll ask one stone question. You expressed to Adam before that turquoise, you know, had healing properties and was beneficial in spiritual expressions. And I would love it if you could further qualify that. Healing in what capacity? In what distinguishes its healing properties from other stones, for example? And when you said spiritual, what do you mean?
Turquoise, in a manner of speaking, is another type of conduit stone. And it aids in focusing attention. It aids in being directed. I would express that this is the reason that many of your, what you term to be Native Americans in Northern or Southern Americas incorporate turquoise considerably. They use it considerably. They incorporate it in adornment, in jewelry, in garments. They use it considerably in many, many different capacities, and that is the reason. Because it incorporates that property or that quality to be somewhat of a conduit in aiding in focusing in directions, which can be useful in relation to healing, but also in relation to spiritual experiences, connecting with other essences, connecting with what you term to be the dead, connecting with other areas of consciousness and other experiences. This is a stone that aids in those connections and aids as a conduit for that.
But its conduit capacity would be different than clear quartz.
Correct. Correct.
How so?
Because a quartz crystal is non-specific. It is a general type of conduit. It is a general connecting stone in relation to electric and magnetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it can be used in any direction as a connection type of stone. The turquoise is more specific. It is not a non-specific stone. Therefore, it wouldn't necessarily be effective with any subject or with any type of expression. It is effective in relation to what you engage as healing, and it is effective in relation to what you perceive as spiritual expressions and directions.
What about its conduit quality in the direction of healing? What does it do that is healing or that supports the healing?
It in focusing.
Focus.
Aids in direction.
So it helps to align the energies involved to express.
To be specific.
Okay.
To be more specific and to be more precise in a manner of speaking. It aids in focusing.
In a healing capacity.
Yes, yes.
Or that would be one of the specificities that it can express.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and last little question. What would you say would be one stone that would be very good for most people to incorporate in their homes? I mean, I guess it would depend on the room, but let's say a living room type of area, a stone that would be good for the home energetics, so to speak, like the environmental configuration of the energy in terms of a general living area.
A quartz crystal, because it is non-specific.
Okay.
Because it can connect with anything.
Okay. So that flexibility then would be beneficial for most people in most situations.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Elias.
You are very welcome, my friend. I shall be anticipating our next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And wondrous lovingness to you as always, my dear friend. Au revoir.
Au revoir.